Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with hymn number 717, What is the World to Me? 477 in the Red Book. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love him and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him. Today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. key words in that reading are, set your hearts on things above. As Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Paul wrote, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Alleluia. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Alleluia. Verses 13 to 21. In this section, Jesus tells us his well-known parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. We'll sing our next hymn, hymn number, well, it's 960 in the bulletin, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Near the cross, a tree.
soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Of course, when it talks about rest beyond the river, well, that's spiritually speaking of the Jordan River and crossing, as the Israelites did when they entered into the Promised Land. Well, our crossing the Jordan River and entering into the Promised Land of heaven one day. The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this 11th Sunday of Pentecost is our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, and then chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless, and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow Christians who know the secret to true happiness, Anne Gillian was an actress who appeared in a number of TV shows and movies since the early 1960s, quite a while ago. But her life was filled with absolute terror in 1985 when she discovered a lump in her breast. And at that time she feared the worst, and it did turn out to be cancer. And as she learned that, she stopped by her church, totally numbed and alarmed and wondering what on earth was going to happen. And well, she did that on her way to an appointment with the doctor, and she was kind of surprised, because then what she did is she noticed above the church entrance these words from St. Francis de Sales: "The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you the strength to bear it. Be at peace then, and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations." Those words, which she had never noticed before, helped her tremendously in her battle with cancer and her life up to that point. She said, "Up to that point, everything was turbulent. Now I release everything into God's hands. Of course, God wants to help me." She was a 35-year-old lady at the time, and she had this terrible prognosis ahead of her. But think about what she came to believe. And we are blessed when we realize what Ann Jillian believed. God wants to help us, and he will take care of us today, tomorrow, and every day of our lives. That's the promise for us as believing children of God. Now, without that faith that Jesus is going to take care of us today, tomorrow, and every day of our lives, well, then we're really going to struggle in this life. So let's focus on the title of the hymn that we just sang, and make that our daily prayer. Jesus, keep me near the cross. How we need to keep on focusing in on him, because life is meaningless without the Lord, and in the Lord there is everlasting joy. Even though his name is nowhere specifically mentioned in this book, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it does appear that Solomon, David's son, was the God-inspired author of this book. Solomon was the king of Israel, well, the third king of Israel, Saul, David, Solomon. Solomon was the king of Israel whom God gave the opportunity to ask for anything that he wanted. He gave him a totally blank check, and what Solomon could have done is he could have asked for wealth or fame or power or some other earthly treasure. But instead of asking for that, he asked for wisdom so that he could faithfully and wisely rule over God's people, God's chosen people, the Israelite nation. And God was pleased with Solomon's request and granted it, and even more. He gave him tremendous wealth and power and fame. Solomon came to be the wisest man who ever lived on this earth, the Bible tells us, apart from the Lord Jesus, of course. But he did have his downfall in making treaties with so many other nations that were subservient to him. Well, what happened is that Solomon ended up having, hundreds of wives, and most of them didn't worship the true God. But they had their own false gods, imaginary gods, and his wives, his many wives, led Solomon away from the Lord and into idolatry. And we may wish that the scriptures specifically said to us that the Lord led Solomon to repentance and back to the Lord later on in his life. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us that. We may wish it did, But if Solomon was the God-inspired author of Ecclesiastes, as it kind of appears that he was, if that book was written by Solomon, it seems to tell us that Solomon was led to see the error of his ways, that the Lord did lead him to repentance and away from those many false imaginary gods that his many wives led him to. Jewish tradition does tell us that Solomon was inspired to write this book when he was an old man, when he was reflecting on his life and preparing to die. And under those circumstances, Solomon wrote, "Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless." Those words are anything but encouraging. The word meaningless, it appears 37 times in this short 12-chapter book in Ecclesiastes. And the original idea behind that word meaningless was the idea of breath, breathing. And to understand this word, well, maybe in our warmer temperatures right now it's harder to imagine, but think to a cold winter day when you're outside and you can see your breath for a moment and then it is gone. And that's the idea behind meaningless that's here. James captured this thought for us when he wrote, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Because life is so fleeting and so unstable so often, life seems to be so vain, frustrating, without purpose, fleeting, empty, or as Solomon said, meaningless, like a breath that is gone. How accurately that seems to describe life here on this earth. Beneath all the hustle and bustle, the tinsel and the glitter, there lurks that sense of meaningless, of like a breath, unless the Lord is in our lives. Only He can add real meaning to our lives. And, well, life is meaningless without the Lord. That's what our reading is telling us repeatedly. Solomon said, "I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless." Solomon did work very hard during his reign as king over Israel. Under his direction, a magnificent temple that, well, probably couldn't be reproduced today if you tried, but a magnificent temple bedecked in gold, a magnificent palace, many fortified cities were built. Solomon amassed such wealth for himself that he was one of the wealthiest people in the world at that time. But he knew he couldn't take it with him when he died. He knew he'd be leaving it to his heir. And, well, his fortune and his kingdom, something that was so great it could be lost and destroyed so quickly by those that followed him if his heir didn't act wisely. And that's exactly what ended up happening. When Solomon's son Rehoboam became king, he was too tough on the people, and therefore 10 of the 12 tribes of the original Israelite tribes, they rebelled against him and formed their own kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel. Under kings David and Solomon, Israel was a very powerful, prominent nation. It was an empire, really. But after Solomon, that glory faded away quickly, never really to return. Looking at Israelite history reminds us very quickly that if gaining earthly pleasures and earthly treasures that are only temporary, if that's our number one priority in life, well, then our life too would be meaningless, like Solomon's was during that time, especially when he was worshiping those other gods. It would be meaningless, like a breath on a cold winter day that disappears so quickly. Oh, just think of today's gospel reading, Jesus' parable of the rich fool. The rich man in that parable, he thought he had absolutely everything under control. He had such wealth that he tore down his barns and built bigger barns, and that was a wise business decision. But he did that, and his motto in life was, eat, drink, and be merry. He was going to rejoice in his wealth and relax in his wealth, which isn't in and of itself wrong. But he thought he had everything under control. He did end up learning that he didn't have everything under control, because what happened is that, well, in the parable, God took his life from him. He found out that his life and his riches were meaningless because God wasn't a part of his life or his riches. And actually, if you think about it, our reading for today has really been quite depressing, pretty depressing. Solomon said, "What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless." Sounds pretty depressing. Well, very depressing. But we can notice who hasn't been mentioned yet in our reading so far, and that is the Lord. Life is meaningless without the Lord. But in the Lord, there is everlasting joy. In the Lord, there is the secret to true happiness. That's why you and I will want to daily pray, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Solomon said, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. You know, what Solomon is saying here seems to be very similar to what the rich fool said. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Except that the rich fool was trying to find his joy and happiness apart from the Lord. But Solomon, on the other hand, concerning his joy, said, this too I see is from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find in judgment? In his life, what Solomon did is he looked many different directions to find joy, meaning, and happiness in life. He looked to other gods, the arts, to science, his many wives, his tremendous wealth, his fame, his power. But those things did not and could not give real meaning to his life. They couldn't bring him real, lasting joy. And concerning all of those things, Solomon said, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. But by the grace of God, toward the end of his life, it appears that Solomon, through the eyes of faith, was able to see that his only real true joy was in the Lord, in the forgiveness of sins, in faith, in the love, the peace, and the joy that God gives. He found joy in serving the Lord. You know, if Solomon looked back on his life, do you think he would have said, you know what, I wish I would have done things differently? And yes, he would have. And in our own lives, maybe we should ask ourselves, if we continue on the path that we're traveling right now, and we're maybe kind of like Solomon at the end of our life, we see that life is meaningless without the Lord, and in him there's true joy, and we'd say, you know, I wish I would have done something differently in this life. oh, you know, maybe we have a chance to do that now. Solomon said, to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Scripture does say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So people who please God are believers. We don't please God because we're such good people, because we aren't. We're sinners who all too often fall short of the glory of God. We break God's law. But we please God because Christ's blood cleanses us of all our sins. Because he shed his blood for us, God gives us wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. He gives us faith so we know what Christ has done for us, so we can partake of heaven's eternal joys. And isn't it great for us to know that through faith and because of what God gives to us, that you and I, we actually please God? Even though all our righteous acts are like filthy rags, apart from Christ, you and I aren't apart from Christ. We're in Christ. And the filthy rags of our sinful deeds, they've been washed completely clean by the blood of Christ. And because they've been washed clean, we do actually please God. In this verse, then, the sinner, according to Solomon, is the unbeliever, then, who has rejected Christ and the forgiveness that Christ won for him. And that sinner may become wealthy on this earth, but like the rich fool in Jesus' parable, those riches aren't his to keep. A person who rejects Christ, well, he can't take his riches where he'll be going. Well, we can't take our earthly riches where we'll be going either, but we have greater riches there in heaven. But now Solomon even says that it's meaningless that the unbeliever would even go to eternal punishment. Because remember what Christ did. He lived and died and rose from the dead, even for those who reject him. He paid for their sins and the sins of the entire world. And it's only the unbeliever's stubborn rejection of Christ that causes his eternal destruction. Again, that's why you and I need to keep on praying, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Well, let's think again of those words that Anne Jillian saw above the entrance to her church. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you the strength to bear it. Be at peace then, and set aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. Our Heavenly Father will take care of all of us who by the grace of God believe in Jesus. He sent his Son to live and to die for us and to pay for all of our sins, and he rose from the dead to show us that we can look forward to the resurrection, to eternal life one day too. He sends the Holy Spirit to call us to faith, to keep us in the faith and keep us until we're with the Lord in heaven. Like Anne Jillian, we may have to face trials and troubles in this life and temptations, and sometimes those trials and troubles and temptations may seem absolutely unbearable and overwhelming at times. And if we had to face them without the Savior, we'd really be tempted to say, what's the point? Or meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless apart from the Lord. Everything in life is meaningless apart from the Lord. But we're not apart from the Lord. And in the Lord, there is everlasting joy. So let's keep on praying. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And keep finding in Him everlasting joy and the strength to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, judge of all men, You have placed into our hands the wealth we call our own. Give us wisdom by Your Holy Spirit so that our prosperity may not be a curse in our lives, but an instrument for blessing. We pray through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, as we think of our lives in this world, we see the struggles that we have to face. Life's trials, troubles, temptations, all around us. But help us always to remember that You keep on caring for us. You keep on loving us. You'll shield us from suffering. You'll give us strength to bear us, and You'll always be with us. We have those promises from our Savior. Help us always to trust in them. And as we think about those in our congregation dealing with aches, pains, trials, and troubles, Jesus, keep them near Your cross. Help them focus always on You. Help all of us to focus on You and on Your cross and how it gives real meaning to our lives. And because of that real meaning in our lives, we gather up all of their prayers as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. Just a couple quick announcements in our congregation this week. Monday is Emily Holland's birthday. Tuesday, Monique Pierre. Wednesday, Dave Metzger. Saturday, Tony Ripley. as I'm preparing this service, I'm hoping Deb Spitzley said that she was going to hopefully be playing for this weekend. I hope that that's the case, that she's recouped a bit more from her minor stroke and other difficulties. But we keep also in our prayers, well, Christine Dries, Paula Burris, Linda Hazy, Diane Kennedy, Roberta Waldron, Mary Glassbrook, Colleen Webb, and, well, and others that are on our prayer list. Please keep praying for yourself, for everyone. Jesus, keep us near the cross. The Lord bless and keep you always.